So I'm just supposed to do whatever you say and listen to your instructions and...
Yes, you signed on to this. You told me you wanted happily ever after.
If I tell you to take all your money out of the bank and light it on fire...
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Tax Crime Junkies, the podcast about true tax crimes. We remain your hosts, Tom and Dom. Welcome back to the second part of our gripping journey into the captivating story of Sarma Melngalis. In case you missed it, in the last episode, we delved deep into the whirlwind life of Sarma, the mastermind behind the renowned vegan hotspot Pure Food and Wine. Pure Food and Wine was the top raw vegan restaurant in the world. It was ahead of its time, and it was a high-end, fine dining vegan experience. It was a hot spot for celebrities. We traced her meteoric rise in the culinary world, her brush with financial turbulence, and that led to unexpected closure of her restaurant, and also the mysterious vanishing act that left everyone bewildered. We peeled back the layers to understand the complexities of her relationship with her husband, Anthony Strangis, appropriately named, and how their entwined lives added a new dimension to her captivating tale. Highs, lows, the fame and the fall. We painted a vivid picture of the woman behind the headlines. But now, brace yourselves for the aftermath. In this second part of our series, we're diving headfirst into the aftermath of Sarma Melngalis' story. It's a chapter riddled with revelations, legal twists, and a downfall that left a gaping void in the vegan community and the culinary world at large. From court proceedings to media scrutiny, from the impact on her employees to the wider wellness industry, we're dissecting it all. Join us as we piece together what happened in the wake of her disappearance, how the truth came to light, and what unfolded in the courtroom. It's a story of redemption, reflection, and the profound lessons we can all learn from the rise and fall of a culinary powerhouse. Welcome back, everyone, to Tax Crime Junkies. I'm your host, Dominique. I'm a CPA, certified tax strategist. I have an interest in true crimes. I have a degree in law and lead the American Institute of Certified Tax Planners. And with me today is my oh-so-lovable co-host, Tom Gorzinski.
Hey, Dom. I'm Tom Gorzinski. I'm an enrolled agent. I'm admitted to practice before the U.S. Tax Corps as a non-attorney. I'm a tax instructor. And like you, I have a real interest in true crime, so we decided to create a true crime podcast to combine our love of mysteries, whodunits, and tax. We are the Tax Crime Junkies, and today we're back for the conclusion to the story of Sarma Melngalis. At this point in our story, Sarma and Mr. Fox are on the run from her employees, her customers who want the delicious vegan food, her investors, and even from the state taxing authorities.
I know you're very curious, so I'm going to dive head straight into it. Sarma says during their time on the run that Strangis was driving her across the country at this time, from Miami to Las Vegas, eventually to Tennessee, and the pair would be arrested in May of 2016. The documentary that's out called Bad Vegan, it's on Netflix. It shows Sarma depressed, ignoring hundreds of messages on her phone, and living in hotel rooms with her dog, Leon. And I think by this time, Tom, she must have figured out that Leon was not going to have everlasting life.
No, I don't think so. During this time, Strangis was way too busy asking Sarma's mother for wires of money to help care for her daughter. According to Vanity Fair, he received more than $450,000 from her mother over time.
No way! So he took all Sarma's money and now he's taking money from her mom? Come on, Sarma. You stole your employees' money, the state's tax money, and now your mom, too? You have to put a stop to this.
Well, in all fairness, Strangis told Sarma's mother that she was in the middle of a nervous breakdown.
True.
And that they needed the funds to keep the restaurant going and to pay for her treatment, and that Sarma would be mad at him if she knew he was asking her mother for financial help.
Ugh, let me guess. Based on the previous stuff we learned, I assume Anthony Strangis was gambling all around the country and accepting Western Union payments at casinos?
It would appear that way, yes. Eventually, that Domino's pizza brought the couple down. They had been living in a hotel near Dollywood in Tennessee for 48 days when he used his real name to order a pizza. That alerted the police to where they were hiding out. They were then arrested and extradited to, guess where, Rikers Island in New York City. Now, Sarma made bail, but Anthony did not. I guess nobody cashed him out this time. He actually spent the next year in jail.
Nobody would take his good credit and say, hey, after this next hand, I'll give you bail. So it was this inorganic pizza with meat that tipped everyone off. That is fantastic.
Yes, and people were creating all kinds of rumors at the time that Sarma was not really a vegan, she did it all to make money, and that she was secretly eating pepperoni pizza in a motel.
Well, allegedly, the pizza was not for Sarma. And she claims to have maintained a strict vegan diet while being a fugitive. I believe her.
I do too.
But the order led police straight to their hotel room, presumably in 30 minutes. Brooklyn District Attorney Ken Thompson announced the arrests of Melngalis and Strangis on a 24-count indictment, which included charges of second-degree grand larceny, second-degree criminal tax fraud, first-degree scheme to defraud, violation of labor law, and other related counts. Now, they were holed up for 40 days and 40 nights in this hotel room, and that's how insane their marriage had become. Sarma, the radiantly blonde poster woman for vegan living, a Manhattan restaurateur, and a Wharton graduate, she said she had come to believe, really, really believe that her pit bull Leon was on the cusp of being made immortal. So when the police arrested the pair, they were taken into a Tennessee County jail before being sent back to New York. And that's where Sarma gathered enough money to make bail before the trial. Now, this is a really sad part of the story, is as much as she loved her dog Leon, Leon got left behind when they were arrested. So Leon got taken to a dog shelter when Sarma and Anthony Strangis got booked into a Tennessee jail. And she later claimed in an interview that her only friends at this point were her dog and a man named Dustin. She met Dustin at the local Chipotle. So she was having a hard time as a vegan getting access to food. And so it was really limited. And so she had to live off of Chipotle, their veggie bowls, for weeks.
It's also been revealed that in a two-year period, Melngalis transferred a total of, get this, $1.7 million to Anthony Strangis. Furthermore, Strangis didn't get only money from her. He was also in frequent contact, as we talked about, with her mother, where he would allude to the problems with her daughter he was trying to handle, and ultimately got $400,000 from her mother.
Jeez.
But as incredible as these amounts are, they actually pale in comparison to the total amount of debt left in their wake of their embezzlement and fraud. Between unpaid taxes, investor funds, unpaid wages for the restaurant's employees, the total money owed, guess, drumroll, over $6 million.
Whoa.
Now, afterwards, Strangis had convinced Sarma to go on the run with him. convincing, of course, as we mentioned, that Leon would become immortal, and guaranteeing huge success with pure food and wine.
Man, not only is this guy a lousy liar, but he's a terrible gambler. I would assume with over $6 million, you have to win, even if it's just occasionally.
And as we said, Dom, it didn't happen all at once. At first, Sarma loaned Strangis a few thousand dollars, simply believing he needed financial help. However, things started to change for the worse, and Strangis asked for more money, and more money, and more money. And then when Sarma questioned his financial demands, he would yell at her over the phone. He told her everything he was doing was a test of trust and faith, and promised it would all make sense. He even contacted her to hand over all of her passwords and private information.
Oh.
Get this. He told her they needed to be quote-unquote encrypted because he had a high security job working for The Family, a U.S.-based religious political organization.
I've heard of this group, The Family.
In a documentary, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so. I guess, you know, if there's this, she's never known him any differently. He's had this cloud of mystery surrounding him the whole time she's known him. So I mean, the whole immortal thing, that's where I start to go, really? Did you believe that? But I guess if he's telling her it's a test, he's testing her loyalty or something.
Right.
So, of course, she wanted to help him, but she had her life's work wrapped up in the restaurant and the food businesses. So, to meet Strangis's financial demands, Sarma had been using money from Pure Food and Wine, as we know. And that was under the belief that Strangis was going to pay her back. But in reality, he was gambling away the money at casinos. And in the end, he ultimately conned her out of millions of dollars, and he took total control of that vegan food business. And of course, he didn't know what he was doing. So when we dug into this controversy, there was a former director of operations at Pure Food and Wine, and he alleges that Strangis and Malngalis stole with a vengeance. So there'd be times when this person would come in on a Monday, get a text or a call from Anthony Strangis instructing him, don't deposit the money, meet me at this place with the money. And he says he wouldn't end up going to the company bank. He'd meet Anthony at Citibank, where Anthony's personal account was. So he said every single day the Pure Food and Wine bank account was cleared to $0. So it's no wonder payroll was bouncing and they couldn't make ends meet. One of the other things he shared was when he first started working there, there was a few hundred thousand dollars, and Sarma would just take out little bits here and there. And then it came to be that she was taking out more and more. She started with 20, then she went to 50, then 70, then 100. And so the employees kind of knew what was up, that Anthony Strangis was bleeding her dry.
I mean, this is easy to see in hindsight, I'm sure, but not at the time.
No.
Looking at it from an outsider's perspective, Sarma's lawyers, Sheila Tendy and Cesar de Castro, they claimed Sarma was actually a victim of coercive control. And that makes sense from what we've learned so far about Anthony Strangis.
Yeah.
Tendy told Vanity Fair, Strangis combined the best techniques of cult leaders, abusive partner control, manipulation, con artist, along with the worst tactics of prosperity theology. Meaning, you know, hey, give me $10, let's have a lot of hope, and you're going to get 10 times that back. You'll get 100. But we all know that rarely happens.
No, it doesn't. Her friend said that Sarma had lost her mind. So her friend is a novelist, actually. I'm eager for a book to come out on this. I really want to read this. But she has this novelist friend, Porachista Kakapur, and she did an interview way after this happened, and she said she really believed that her dog would live forever, Sarma, that is. So over a lengthy period, she's starting to see the light and understand, oh, this guy, there's some other stuff going on here. She started little by little learning that he has this criminal history. But Anthony Strangis was still able to convince Sarma that he worked in black ops. And as a result, he had to keep the small details of his life a secret. So I think perhaps if you can understand how a sane, successful businesswoman comes to believe the really radical idea that her dog's going to live forever, everything else snaps into focus. How that person, you know, might be accused of bilking her investors of $844,000 or owing her employees, not paying them for weeks at a time. She was financially stripping her restaurant. And I guess this is what's crazy for an outsider to believe is like, this was so important to her, but she still did all these things to harm people in her life. And here she is now waiting for trial, and she's looking at a 15-year sentence. So she had thought all the harm would be magically reversed, just like Leon's lifespan would be extended. But let's talk more about Anthony Strangis. He didn't just wake up and concoct this scam, did he?
No, he definitely didn't. If you dig a little deeper into his life, you find out in August 2014, after winning $160,000 at the Foxwood Casino, he was arrested with a $25,000 bond, presumably for the parole violation of crossing state lines. However, he apparently was still on probation for grand theft charges, stemming from the sale of his father's Jaguar to a man for $20,000, according to his ex, Stacy. This is a quote. Even as a teenager, he wanted to live that millionaire type of lifestyle, but he didn't want to put any work into doing it. And who said that? John Strangis, his half-brother. He actually left his previous girlfriend, who also happened to be the mother of his child, Stacy, completely randomly one day. Before doing so, he expressed how easy it would be to kill their child.
Ugh.
He claimed the baby could be killed with salt, and it wouldn't show up in an autopsy.
Ugh.
The reason he was bringing this up? Because he told Stacy there were demons after him.
That sounds like he was the crazy person to me. And we've kind of heard this story before, right? The people who want to live the millionaire type of lifestyle, they don't want to work. And then you look and you're going, how hard he must have worked on this story that he concocted and staying out, you know, trying to stay below the radar and all that. But between leaving Stacy and his kid, I guess, and then taking over Sarma's life, he had tallied up quite a few convictions, and he had impersonated a police officer, and he stole a sports car in Florida, and that led to the grand theft charge. So Sarma, when people asked her, she didn't want to reveal what happened to all the missing money, and she laughed at the idea that she was fueling her husband's gambling addiction. And her response was, I hate gambling. It's preying on the vulnerable. But sure enough, you know, that's exactly what I think was going on here. Sarma's father and her sister, as well as Anthony Strangis, stated that Sarma never truly loved Anthony. Instead, she reportedly married him because she thought that he might be the financial savior that she and her struggling restaurant needed at that moment.
Wait a minute. What? It sounds to me like he wouldn't have been involved with her if he wasn't able to get money from her business.
Yeah.
Now, they were charged ultimately with second-degree larceny, second-degree criminal tax fraud, first-degree scheme to defraud, violation of labor law, and more in a 24-count indictment. And they actually could have faced up to 15 years in prison if they had been convicted. But, and this may be no surprise to you, Dom, they copped a plea deal. Both.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sounds like the evidence was pretty strong there.
Yeah, so Estranges pled guilty to 4 counts of grand larceny in the fourth degree. He was sentenced to 1 year in jail and 5 years probation and had to pay $840,000 in restitution to investors. Now, he already had served the majority of his sentence after his plea deal, as he never made bail after the initial arrest. He was never charged with defrauding Sarma's mother. There were no measures put in place to protect anyone else from him in the future after his release.
Yeah, it bothers me sometimes. They really knock these charges down, you know, to go from the seriousness of the charges against them. I'm just speaking about Anthony Stranges, kind of picking on him as a villain in this story, but they knock it down to fourth degree grand larceny. So it's just like people can't even really get a feel for how bad this guy really is. But I imagine it would be hard to charge because mom gave the money willingly, thinking that she was helping her daughter. So I guess that wouldn't be theft or fraud. And if he's convincing Sarma to give him all this money willingly, then that's not stealing either, right? So it's kind of strange. Sarma, on the other hand, pled guilty to charges of grand larceny, criminal tax fraud, and a scheme to defraud in exchange for 5 years probation and 4 months in jail. And that time she served during the summer of 2017. It sounds to me like he copped to lower charges than she did.
Right.
But they were accused by the Brooklyn DA's office. They defrauded her restaurant, 12 years old, of nearly $2 million. They duped the investors. They went on the lam. They stiffed the employees. And apparently they were kind of spending lavishly on hotels, watches, and casinos. But I guess after Anthony Stranges lost all his money in Las Vegas, they ended up in cheap motels from then on. So really what happened is Sarma went from feminist business icon to clickbait. They were calling her, in 2015 anyway, they were calling her vegan vixen and the vegan Bernie Madoff.
I mean, she fell far. The glamorous New York restaurateur went from vegan hero to outlaw, broke down crying in court, and she was offered up to 3 years in prison for taking the $2 million from her business.
Oof.
Now, prosecutors separately offered her and Stranges the deal, which the couple would get if they pled guilty to the top charge of second-degree grand larceny, the prosecutors told in Brooklyn Supreme Court. Now, Sarma was represented in her trial by a high-profile attorney, Jeffrey Lichtman, who previously represented the former Mexican drug lord, El Chapo.
Whoa.
Yeah, so this is some
heavy hitters.
Firepower here.
Yeah.
Now, it also emerged in January of 2019 that Sarma had an affair with her defense attorney,
ooh,
who was married at the time while he was representing her.
Oh, no. I guess during the relationship, and that relationship supposedly went on from February 2017, lasted over a year to May of 18, and they were exchanging a series of X-rated text messages, and those text messages were acquired by the New York Post. Can you imagine your private messages? Shortly after that time, Sarma spoke out, confirming, yes, the messages were real. And here's what she told the New York Post. He smelled really good. That's something you notice when you start working with somebody and then you give them a hug goodbye. I'm very sensitive to that. But she also added that she was hurt to discover that he was married and he had children after they had started their affair.
Yikes. Well, as we mentioned previously, she did plead guilty. She pled guilty to grand larceny, tax fraud, conspiring to defraud, to stealing $1 million from Pure Food and Wine. and that deal got her 5 years probation following 4 months behind bars on Rikers Island. And her plea came exactly 1 year after her arrest due to the pizza delivery in Tennessee.
So meanwhile, Strangis was sentenced to 1 to 3 years in prison, but he got released from Rikers after 1 year and 3 days. The sentence imposed is harsh enough, was the opinion, because he did over 1 year. So I guess when asked, Brooklyn Supreme Court Justice Danny Chun said he felt that was enough. 1 year for stealing all that money? I don't know. They say crime doesn't pay. Kind of seems like it in this instance, though.
Yeah, sadly. He was released in May of 2017 and, of course, did have 5 years probation and was required to pay restitution. Now, spring of 22 marked 5 years, so he should be off probation by now.
Wow. Well, so Sarma, after she spent 4 months in Rikers Island, she filed for divorce from Anthony Strangis in May of 2018. And since her former company website was shut down, she used to use that as her personal blog. So she launched a new personal website, Sarma Raw, and she just kind of shares her side of the story, you know, what happened from her point of view. And as of January of 2019, she was living in Harlem with her dog, Leon. So Leon's still in the picture. She was able to have him picked up in Tennessee, and he was okay. And she was hoping that maybe she could get out of the city for a while. She thought it would be like a more quiet life. And she said she was telling in 2019, she was telling the New York Post that if there was some magical opportunity to open the same restaurant in the same place, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I think New York would take me back.
I think everyone's really curious about the vegan issue. Mm-hmm. So in addition to admitting she ate chicken in prison, I don't know if they give people...
Is it really chicken?
Well, that's the other question, right?
Yeah.
She did reveal, like you said, she would reopen her vegan restaurant.
And I have to say, she's been pretty diligent about paying back her debts. So perhaps reopening the restaurant could really allow her to do that so she can work and make money. I don't know how she's going to pay back that much money. It's so much. She did negotiate a payment. Like I was saying before, she participated in a Netflix documentary, and I highly recommend it. It's called Bad Vegan. And she took her entire earnings from basically selling the rights to her story to Netflix, and all of that went straight to her employees who she owed money to. And according to the documentary, Sarma came out of this ordeal with roughly $6 million of collateral damage and debt. So I just don't know any other way. If she just gets a regular job, how is she ever going to pay off $6 million? And I don't think Anthony Strangis is worried about it. He probably just knows he's never going to pay it back. But sounds like she's pretty serious about making amends. Her Instagram is public, and her bio is interesting. On her Instagram, it says, "In mourning over pure food and wine and one lucky duck, Rikers alum. It's a long story." So in this documentary, you get to hear from her. And so she's kind of telling the story in her own words. Why didn't I run? Why didn't I leave? Did I really think the dog was going to live forever? Why didn't I call the cops? And she said, in short, that she really believed these things were reality.
That's right. On the day of Bad Vegan's release, Sarma shared some thoughts about the Netflix series on her website. She explained that while most documentary subjects do not get paid for appearances, she actually did. And she used the entirety of that money to pay off the total amount that her former Pure Food and Wine employees were owed. "Of all of the harm and the many deaths resulting from my downfall, this portion weighed heaviest," she wrote in the post. She also took the opportunity to clarify a few details about her relationship with Strangis. And again, this is directly from her. I didn't want to marry him. And that part of the story was inaccurately condensed. Also, the ending of Bad Vegan is disturbingly misleading. I am not in touch with Anthony Strangis, and I made those recordings at a much earlier time, deliberately for a specific reason.
Yeah, I think, well, I guess I would be giving too much away if I explained what that means, but it is interesting because people can take things and twist them around in editing. And so there's a lot of debates about whether or not she's complicit in these crimes. But based on my research, it really does seem, as hard as it is to believe, that she trusted the wrong person and Anthony Strangis was behind all of it. What do you think, Tom?
This is tough because while I understand the whole idea of coercive control, it just boggles my mind that somebody would go down this far into the depths of fraud simply because that somebody wanted them to do so.
Right.
But I've never experienced that level of abuse. So yeah. I can't really speak because I haven't been in those shoes, you know?
I mean, I imagine at some point there's shame that's piling on top of this, right? Because let's say she did start to realize his criminal background. She must have been so ashamed at, you know, feeling like so ignorant.
Right.
With all of these happenings. And because people did look up to her as a model businesswoman. And maybe she just, the level of shame either kept her in denial or maybe even kept her from just telling the truth.
Well, the movie's producer told Women's Health he does believe Anthony was really at fault for the scam. Sommer herself, we do not believe, would have ended up resorting to criminal behavior on her own. And I think that's true, right?
Yeah.
She was a person who was very dedicated to this restaurant and its success and under a lot of stress, he explained. And if he believes if Anthony had not come into her life, they don't think that anything like this would have happened.
He's not the only one. The series executive producer, Ryan Fraser, also said in an interview, I think he gaslit her. I think it was mental abuse, plain and simple, verbal, right? It's pretty extensive and it's horrible. So there is some rumors that there's a book about her experiences probably on the way. I read that she's friends with the novelist. I'm like, oh, good. Hopefully there's a story because I'd like to hear, you know, her straight from her without the editing. She was pretty, she did display a lot of candor in Bad Vegan, but I'm sure a book is going to be a really interesting read. And even her dog Leo has a Twitter account. And so he's on Instagram as well. And in March of 2022, they celebrated Leon's 12th birthday with an Instagram post. So she's still got her best buddy. She wrote, I've been living in Harlem with Leon. I effing love Harlem. It felt good to live in a neighborhood where the same people are hanging out on the same stoops and everyone knows Leon's name and nobody cares what I do or don't do for a living. They don't know about my past. And by the time they do, they don't judge me for it. Good for her. I think that would be really welcome.
Now, it seems her time to reemerge might be approaching soon.
Ooh.
Page Six reported that she's actually making a sensational comeback attempt. Now, pleading guilty to fraud charges after she bled her restaurant dry and trying to reopen that very same Union Square hotspot that she defrauded, it's going to be a really uphill battle.
And it is the same spot, too, because Page Six, there was a spy from Page Six. You know, this is kind of the gossip magazine there. And
they
spotted Sarma taking what seemed to be a business meeting at a cafe. And then they walked across the street to the former Pure Food and Wine space. That one has been empty since the restaurant shut down. And she had keys. She unlocked the door and showed them inside.
She also appeared on the Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel podcast. And when she asked if she'd open a new eatery, Sarma said yes, in the right circumstances. She added that her goal is to make enough money to repay anyone who was left out of pocket by her misadventures. And here's a quote from that podcast. There's a bunch of different things I'm working on that could repair the damage, which I take on as my responsibility, she said while declining to get into any specifics. She suggested she needed to find a major cash cow if she hopes to make good on her mistakes.
Oh no, not again.
But Sarma brings up a good point. People have said, why don't you open a food truck? Or why don't you do catering? But that's not going to make $6 million.
Yeah, it is a good point. And she does seem really determined to actually pay her restitution. As for where Anthony Strangis is today, I don't think he's worried about it. His probation ended 5 years after his release from prison. So that was in last year in 2022. There isn't any trace of him online. But as we know, Shane Fox doesn't fear adopting a fake identity.
Well, we finally come to the end of this riveting tale about Sarma Melgonis. I hope you've thoroughly enjoyed every part of this story like I did.
And if you did, don't forget to like and share this episode. And yes, remember to tell us the parts of the story you enjoyed best. You can do that right in the comment section. Tell us everything you think. Do you think Sarma's story ends here? Do you think she was controlled? Do you think she was in on it? And do you think she should make a comeback and start a new restaurant? Maybe even bring back Pure Food and Wine. I know I'll be there if she does.
Hey, I'd try it if I was in New York.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. We're super grateful you decided to join us today, and we hope you consider subscribing to the show and even sharing it with some friends who could use a tax crime junkie podcast in their life. Help us spread the word and come back for more.
We hope you'll join us again next week as we continue our mission to find the loopholes that went left and close them for good. Until next time, remember that every crime has a trail that leads to the truth.